You're listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks, your source for centered and focused play therapy coaching.
Hi, I'm Dr. Brenna Hicks, the Kid Counselor. This is the Play Therapy Podcast, where you get a masterclass in child-centered play therapy and practical support and application for your work with children and their families. In today's episode, I am answering a question from actually quite a few listeners, and this has become a hot topic lately. So I feel like I've been getting hit with this in all kinds of places. So we've been chatting about this in the collective. I've gotten several emails from listeners, and then it's also been in a couple of the coaching calls. So this is certainly something that is noteworthy, worthwhile to discuss, and I'm excited to be talking about if you are a mobile child-centered play therapist. In other words, you do not consistently have a singular playroom and you are traveling to clients or traveling to different locations and you're kind of operating as a mobile therapist, how to most effectively handle that. So really appreciate those questions. And so I got specifically two emails that I'm going to read parts of, and then several others have mentioned it, as I said, in coaching and in the collective. So Fallon from Pennsylvania wrote in, and Rudy from Colorado wrote in. So I'm going to kind of fuse both of those emails together, and I'll give you a sense of what the questions are, and then we'll dive in together. So Fallon from Pennsylvania says, during my internship and even now in my career as I work more with children, I've developed a deep love for child-centered, non-directive play therapy. I'm so excited. I listen to your podcast every day, and I walk into homes and try these skills out with children as a mobile therapist. Here's my question. How can I practice child-centered, non-directive play therapy in the home of my kids with parents present and often interjecting? One child I'll see at a home, one I see in a library setting. I will begin next week with a new child in their home as well. On the weekends, I work at a therapy practice where I see kids on Saturdays, and I've incorporated play into our therapy sessions, but would certainly benefit from more training. Any help, advice, pointers you could provide, I would be eternally grateful. I love what I do, even in its infantile state, and desire to help children to feel seen, heard, valued, cared for, and delighted in. And then she says, I listen to you every day, so I remember the Be With Attitudes. I'm happy that you remember the Be With Attitudes, Fallon. Okay, and then my follow-up question that came in after that from another listener, from Rudy in Colorado, and very similar scenario, and certainly something that aligns with this. So we're going to kind of combine these two together. So Rudy says, hey, Brenna, I'm a first-year child therapist and listen to your podcast weekly. I do a lot of home visits for therapy. Almost without fail, one of the kids' siblings, so one of the client's siblings, will try to enter the playroom or outdoors and interrupt my sessions. The only place that I can really do therapy is a nearby park or in the kids' bedrooms. Any suggestions? All right. So yes, lots of suggestions, and certainly something that is a little tricky to navigate, but it is doable. I have several coaching participants that were also mobile therapists, and we navigated that together. So it is possible. So let me give some thoughts and just kind of debrief on this a little bit. As a general rule, I do not advocate for sessions outdoors. And there are quite a few therapists in the collective that have mentioned an outdoor space. And some have mentioned, you know, doing kind of outdoor sessions and having outside play, things like that. Nature play, I think, is what's one termed it. I actually feel like that is difficult to navigate, and here's why. The child-centered model is predicated on the notion that there is a defined boundary of the play space, which is why we have a rug, which is why when parents are doing CPRT with their kids, they set up a sheet, a blanket, or a rug. It provides a visual boundary, and it provides parameters for the play session. When you are in an outdoor area, it is really hard to set limits. It's really hard to give choices, especially if the child were to run, were to dart off to another spot outside. It would be very difficult to not only manage the play, but also use the skills. So as a general rule, I think having an outdoor play session is going to be very tricky to navigate. Now, of course, there are certain kids that would walk outside, sit down, and throw rocks into a lake and never move for the entire session. And so that would be obviously an outlier and not the kind of child that I'm talking about. But as far as an entire play session outside, not only do you not have the toys, You can't move all of the toys outside. I think that would be difficult as well. But it also just does not give the boundaries and the parameters that really are required to do CCPT. So that's just my thought about outside. But then let me talk through some other things. All right. So as far as being in a library, a home, you know, going on mobile visits to do play therapy, first of all, you absolutely have to have a well-equipped mobile play kit. And we talked about this in the collective call a couple of weeks ago, and I've recommended this to some of my coaching participants as well. There are websites that offer pre-made mobile play therapy kits. I think playtherapysupply.com maybe is one of them. Just search mobile play therapy kit and you will see what I mean. It's essentially a rolling duffel bag and it has all kinds of toys in it and you can just buy it as a pre-made thing. I actually don't recommend doing that. Here's what I recommend you doing. I think you can look at what is included in that kit and you can arrange it all for yourself much more inexpensively. So I would look at everything that's included, and they typically have different levels of kits. So they kind of have the basic kit and then the medium kit and then the, you know, super duper kit, whatever. I'm sure those aren't the words, but you know what I mean? Like the really, really thorough kit is really expensive. And then like the basic kit is pretty cheap and it only has a few things in it. I would look at the most expensive mobile kit that they have and they'll include everything that's in that kit. I would make note of that and I would secure all of those things for yourself. So get them used, get them at dollar stores, get them at thrift stores, get them from friends and family. Do you know how many people you know are constantly purging toys and things as their kids grow up? So your nieces, your nephews, your neighbors, your friends, your own children, whatever, you will always have toys that would be appropriate for a CCPT mobile kit. And you'll have access to those. So I would compile that for yourself. Make sure that you have all three categories of toys represented. You want to make sure that you have the real life, you have the acting out aggressive, and you have the creative artistic expression toys. As long as you have a representation from all three, that's what you want in your kit. And then that is consistently put in the rolling duffel, and those exact same things are with you every single time. I know a lot of people just kind of throw stuff in the back of their car and it's kind of hit or miss, hodgepodge. Like some days I have this, some days I have that. You want consistency and predictability. That's also another tenet of the CCPT model. We have three categories of toys represented and the same toys are always available. So make sure that your mobile kit is well stocked, well equipped, and purposefully assembled so that it has what you need. Okay, here's my greatest thought on this. For those of you that are doing mobile therapy, control what you can. There are always going to be things over which you have no control. You have no control that you go into people's homes. I would assume not. I would assume that if you could do it at a brick and mortar location, you would. So with the assumption that you have to go into people's homes or you have to meet them at other locations, if you don't have control over that, you have control over setting boundaries and expectations with parents. You have control over making sure that you clearly communicate and articulate what's going to happen for that therapeutic hour. You're going to maybe have them sign a contract that agrees to these stipulations. I will secure all pets. I will make sure other siblings are being attended to. I will make sure that there will be no phone or, you know, other interruptions. I will ensure that someone is with other children at all times. I will make sure that the toys are set up before you get here. If sometimes parents will agree that they will set up toys for you. I don't know what your scenario is, but the goal is that you make it extremely clear what you need to not undermine the therapeutic process. And this is the same thing we do in a brick and mortar location. That's why we do an initial parent consult. We sit down and we make sure everything is clearly articulated to parents so that they're bought in and they're invested and they understand what the expectations are. You're doing the exact same thing in these scenarios. And this is to have control over which you have control. You do not have control over certain scenarios. So it's really important that you set yourself up in a room with the fewest and least distractions. Where in the house, where in the library, wherever you happen to be, is it the least fragile? In other words, kids can be the most rambunctious without fear of breaking things and the most distraction-free. So is that a bedroom? Is that a loft? Is that the kitchen? Is that the living room? It doesn't matter, but it needs to be a room that is closed off. and is going to have the least amount of distractions. Ideally, you don't really want it in the center of the house because the center of the house is the hub for activity. So what if the kid really needs a drink and you're in the kitchen, that not your client, a sibling really needs a drink, and the mom is likely not going to say you're going to have to wait till the play session is over. So just be mindful of securing a location in the house or in the building that is going to be the most out of the way, filled with the least distractions and the least concern for what would happen in a play session. And above all, you preserve the relationship. So even when there are distractions, even when there are interruptions, even when things don't go as planned, you address it out loud with your client. Oh, someone popped in. We didn't expect that. You normalize it, you neutralize it, you address it out loud, and then that allows both of you to regroup and move on and pick right back up where you were. Now, are there times that a distraction will be a little bit disruptive and the child will deviate from what they were playing originally because it kind of threw them off? Yes, but again, that's something over which you have no control. So you do everything you can from your side, and then you just go with whatever happens, and then you make sure that it's addressed directly with the child. Boy, every time we play, your brothers and sisters want to come in here. They must really wish they could play. So you just have to normalize it, acknowledge it out loud, and then it allows the child to process if they choose, or they can just get right back into their play. And that's the most effective way to handle any kind of unexpected or unintended surprises that happen when you're in an environment that you don't have the governance as you would in a regular playroom. So Fallon, Rudy, and all of the other people that have brought that up in the collective, I hope that that's helpful for you all. It is a little bit tricky to do mobile play therapy, but with certain mindsets and certain parameters and certain goals, it is certainly doable. I have actually done mobile sessions, and I've completed treatment from session one all the way through in a mobile play therapy capacity. So it is possible. It is something that you can do. You just have to kind of learn some tricks to best manage it. So thanks so much for emailing me, for both of you and the others that have mentioned it. Hope that that was helpful. And if you want to reach out to me, please do so. Brenna@thekidcounselor.com. Have a great week, y'all. Love you. Talk again soon. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks. For more episodes and resources, please go to www.playtherapypodcast.com.